Blog Talk Radio.
Alone. And good evening, everyone. Firstly, I have to wish you all a very festive and fabulous autumnal solstice. And of course, in our Celtic modalities, we're getting ready for the new year, and the air is crisp, and it is the perfect time for sending out intentions of love and well-being and for beginning new pursuits. And I'm sure that you are all engaged in all of those fabulous activities. Excuse me. Anyway, my name is Leslie Mitchell-Clark. I am your host, and welcome to Contact. And, of course, on Contact, we explore all sorts of things ufology-related, and we also explore the realms of metaphysics, the paranormal, spirituality, and health and wellness. So just about anything goes here at Contact, and we do all bind it up in the nice bow of awareness and love and hope for the future of our planet, for the future of the cosmos. And we are so thrilled this evening because I have joining us again two of my very favorite guests, and they have visited us here on Contact, both separately and also together. And we have as our guests the very, very fascinating twin flames, the husband and wife team of Angale Rose and Ahonu. And Angale Rose and Ahonu are on-air hosts. They are master tarot readers. They are soul recoverers. They are Akashic Records readers. Of course, Ahonu also is a highly regarded visionary artist, and he's going to be telling us a bit about that work. And also, Angale Rose has just released her latest book, which is called A Time for Change. And this is a really, really inspiring piece of work, very personal, and yet something that certainly can resonate with everyone. And she's going to be talking a bit about her new book, I'm sure. And there we go. So that's what's going on tonight on Contact, and we're going to send out a big hello to our producer, Wes Roberts, who's at his palatial state out of town and engaged in some very, very intensive work. And also, I want to send out a special hello and lots of love to my dear sister Karen Mitchell on the West Coast, and also to my friend Susie Appleyard, who I believe would be listening tonight. So there you go. And once again, we would love to have you folks call in to chat. And that number is, very quickly, 424-220-1861. That is 424-220-1861. And that is a Los Angeles area exchange, but certainly you can use Skype, and we would absolutely love to chat with you. Now, before we get much farther underway, I did want to thank our generous sponsors. And of course, number one on that list is Asheville Magazine. And AshevilleMagazine.com is a virtual mecca of metaphysical information. And let's just play a little word from Asheville Magazine right now.
Have you heard of mystical Asheville, North Carolina? CBS News, Rolling Stone magazine, and the New York Times call this Southern Appalachian town America's Mecca of New Age consciousness. And now, shining from this planetary vortex, comes a unique national New Age and metaphysical online publication called simply Asheville Magazine. Soon to be radio and TV as well. Check them out at AshevilleMagazine.com or simply type Asheville Magazine into your search engine.
All right. That is a word from the wonderful Asheville magazine. And you can all log on and find out the absolute latest in what is happening in the worlds of ufology, metaphysics, spirituality, and all kinds of other fabulously interesting areas. Okay. And also, I did want to thank our other sponsor, Enchanted Reveries. Enchanted Reveries, metaphysical jewelry with a touch of magic to inspire the spirit. Earrings, bracelets, and necklaces, handcrafted from semi-precious gemstones, sterling silver, silver-plated pewter, charms, and other symbolic and colorful ingredients. And you can look at the whole gorgeous line of Enchanted Reveries jewelry simply by logging on to www.enchantedreveries.etsy.com. That's enchantedreveries.etsy.com. And I cannot recommend these beautiful, beautiful objects of art really any more highly. I own a number of them, and I think it's time to get some birthday presents or this and that, so I'm going to be ordering some more stuff before too long. All right, folks, we have a caller on the line, and I am having my fingers crossed that this is Ann Gale and Ahonu. Let me just see who's there. Picking up the line. Okay, good evening.
Hi, Leslie. It's us.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear your voices, guys. And where are you?
Yeah, I know. We are in Rochester, New York.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, before we go any further, I better have your passport numbers.
I know. Do you believe that?
I'm just kidding. Oh, my God.
Oh,
well,
I'm so disappointed.
I know. Well, you know what? It's in the post 9/11 world. There, you know, the complications of just doing the simplest things are really over the top. You know, and I've had many of the in my other life as a music publicist. You know, there are oft times there are acts that don't get across the border for like a stupid little reason. I mean, these things just happen. But we will look forward to making another plan.
So I know my publicist wanted me to turn around the next day and try to get in again, and I said, I don't think that's smart right now.
No, not a good idea. I think you did just the right thing. We'll just chill for a bit and then take another stab at it. Maybe in the spring or something. It'll all have settled down by then. So
yeah, I hope so.
Now, are you on your way to Los Angeles at this time? I know you're just back from your wonderful time in Ireland, and are you now settling in L.A. for a bit?
No, we're actually headed back. We're going to be here for about a week. We have work here and some book promotion here, and then we're headed back to Hendersonville, North Carolina, for a few weeks, and then hopefully we'll be heading actually to San Diego.
Oh, that's right. It was San Diego, I think. That's a really lovely town. I think you'll enjoy it very much. Have you been there before, or?
Yes, all my children live there.
Oh, well, there you go. There's a huge bonus right there. So
that's the reason for going.
Okay. Well, I think under those circumstances, you can put up with living behind the orange curtain. So.
Yeah, I know.
That has multiple meanings, Ahonu, behind the orange curtain.
That's right. And it is the strangest thing that we would be moving west, because you just played a marvelous advertisement there for Asheville magazine.
Yes.
It seems that everybody's attracted to Asheville. They're coming from all the different states to arrive in Asheville. We've noticed it ourselves over the last couple of years. And it is indeed a new age mecca. And we're actually moving the opposite direction. So
I know. Well, you know, maybe
we're following our instinct.
I think they need a lot more enlightenment there on the West Coast. I think you're going. I think you're going where you're probably most needed.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I think that's the way of it. So tell me a little bit, guys, what have you been up to in Ireland? Tell me about your recent time there. Were you involved in teaching? Were you having Akashic record sessions? What were you doing?
Well, all of the above, actually, but predominantly we were looking for a quiet place up in the Wicklow Hills to be able to write. We're both in the process of, I'm in the process of writing book two, and Ahanu's working on his first book. And so we wanted a little place up in the hills. So it was kind of really a way to work in a quiet place, quiet, beautiful place. And we also did do classes, and we did Akashic Record readings, and Ahanu did art for people. So it was different than a lot of our other visits to Ireland, in that it was a little bit more low key for us because we've switched into the writing mode.
Yeah,
but certainly we just enjoyed many, many walks around Glendalough, which was only 10 minutes down the road, and visited with friends and family. So it was work and family oriented both.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you feel as if you you have recharged a bit? And, of course, you've been actually quite close to nature there, and you've been able to, you know, sort of oscillate with a lot of marvelous, you know, nature spirits and just the beautiful energies, right? You must feel a bit recharged.
Well, I do. I'm always healthier in Ireland, and I love the air there. I keep telling people the air there is different, and it's, even if it's chilly out, because it never really did get too warm in the summer. It was really a very rainy summer for most of the time we were there, and then it just started getting sunny when we were leaving. But I'd say we were probably in the upper 60s or low 70s the whole summer.
Let me think.
Regardless,
I'm trying to think in Celsius. What that like about 10 or 12?
It's about 12 to 14 degrees.
Okay.
And we go up to 17 some of the days. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, that I can understand.
Yeah, but the air air just feels so nourishing that you just want your windows open all the time.
Yeah. I believe
we were in the hills.
Pardon me.
We were in the hills, so the wind was blowing all the time. So you'd wake up to a beautiful mist on the mountains, and then it would clear, and the breezes would come through, which I just love.
Oh, man, I can just see it.
And we're also very, very close to the place that Angel Rose moved to Glendalough, which was like 5-8 minutes from where we were living. And that is an absolutely marvelous place. And if anybody is visiting Ireland, they have to put that as a destination.
Oh.
They really do. Glendalough. It's broken into three words: Glendalough, and it's the Glen of the Two Lakes. That's what it translates in the Irish language. Glen of the Two Lakes. And but it's not so much the stunning scenery that's there, which is, it's absolutely exquisite. It's really very, very difficult to describe it in words. It's so beautiful. But it's also the earth energy that's there. And St. Kevin, in fact, sought out that place for his own solitude, as well as to build a monastery there in 432. And that monastery is still there and can still be seen, and you can walk around. It's a beautiful round tower, and there's all kinds of churches and so on built there. But it's the energy of the place that's very palpable, and that was what was sustaining us also.
I have no doubt about that at all. In fact, I'm wondering if perhaps that wonderful spot that St. Kevin perceived might even be more ancient evidence of mankind having utilized that spot for various ceremonial activities. It most likely, do you feel, is an ancient power spot?
I do, indeed I do. In fact, there's a priest who lives very, very close, a Catholic priest, which is very, very close to Glendalough, and he takes tours around there. But what's very interesting about him is that he explains not only the Christian element of the monastic settlements there in Glendalough, but he also explains the Celtic origins as far back as he can go. But he ventures a little further, and he teaches that it was used as a place of sun years ago. And I actually spoke to an old gentleman who's now passed away, unfortunately, but he told me that there was one particular area there in Glendalough that was used for moon worship. Now, I had never heard of moon worship until he told me, and that puts a whole new light on the place, in my opinion.
Does it not? Yes. In fact, have they not, and this is not in Ireland directly, but have they not fairly recently, within the past couple of years, discovered a twin to Stonehenge being actually constructed out of wood? And the speculation may be that, in fact, Stonehenge, in its earliest conception as an astrological divining sort of place, it was a celebration of the sun, and that this wooden structure was a celebration of the moon, as I understand it. Possibly, who knows?
Well, you know, when you speak about Stonehenge, the henge itself is a circle of wooden poles that was used for divination and alignment with the planets and the stars. And Stonehenge, therefore, was just a more permanent version of those. There are lots of these wooden henges to be found around Ireland, but they've been reconstructed, obviously. They found the locations in the ground where the wooden poles had stood, and they've reconstructed them. And there's many, many examples throughout the British Isles, actually, of
yes.
these various types of henges. So it just shows, I mean, there's proof right there that these people weren't an ignorant race of farmers. They
no.
were actually very, very tuned in and very clued in to the movements of the stars.
Completely. Indeed, I had I just finished a course that you both would have been probably very interested in. It was in my work as a hypnotherapist, I just took a course about guiding people through the interlife, you know, where we make our various choices before we come back again into another lifetime. And in order to, of course, learn these techniques, we have to practice on each other. And, excuse me, so I was, instead of just abruptly, you know, taking someone into the interlife, we would bring someone through a past life and then into the interlife. So I had the chance to recall quite a fascinating life, came right out of nowhere by surprise, where I was very aware that I was, in fact, some type of, for lack of a better term, combination medicine woman and priestess. And definitely in the Celtic tribes, I could hear what sounded like ancient Erse being spoken, and I had a device that it looked something like a half moon. It was an actual shape, but it was a kind of a device where I could actually hold it up to the sky and perceive different astrological configurations. Because I was responsible for indicating when planting should happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those. It was not what it's never what you expect, but it was so visceral, and I could hear the drumming. It was one of the most kinesthetic past life recollections I have ever had. And I think it just bespeaks at how strongly I do resonate with Ireland and what even in this life is my, you know, genetic homeland.
Sure. And Angie and Rose had a similar type of experience to that when I brought her to Ireland the first time.
Oh, really?
The Hill of Tara. Yeah, and the Hill of Tara, I mean, people might recognize the name Tara from Gone with the Wind, but the Hill of Tara exists in Ireland. It's an ancient location where the ancient high kings of Ireland were crowned. And when we visited there first, she said that she could actually see encampments of people all around the base of the hill, but they were all celebrating. It wasn't like a warmongering of any kind, and it wasn't a show of power. It was simply celebrating, and the people were dressed in those kind of Celtic druid-type outfits, and it was a huge dance and a huge celebration. And that was very interesting insight into the area.
Yes, indeed. And I'm sure that's completely, backed up historically, that would have made perfect sense. We know there were huge gatherings of the ancient peoples, far greater than anyone has ever previously imagined from the excavations that have been done, in fact, around Stonehenge and other places. They know there were massive, seasonal kind of settlements.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Angale.
Even too, there's another place in Ireland called the Hill of Slain, and it is, well, what's up there now? I don't know. There's a ruin of a castle, and there was a church.
Okay.
And we went up there one time, and it was when we decided that we were going to be tuning into the spirit of places. And when I tuned into that, before those buildings were ever there, I saw a group of women on that hill and a huge fire in the center. And it was the women who were doing all of these celebrations, you know,
yeah.
to the moon and the sun,
yeah.
and were actually bringing in the energies for prosperity and fertility and all of that. But it was an incredible spectacle to see. So that's how far back we're going too, when the women had a huge part to play.
Oh, indeed. And
you know,
and don't you think, Angale, that part of a large chunk of the well, let's say the negative events and the tough circumstances that have gone on in our third dimension really have a lot to do with that basic imbalance of power?
Absolutely. In fact, I do address that in my book, actually, and it was,
yes.
it was the night in the records where, you know, Mother Mary came in unexpectedly and, you know, basically gave us the message about the imbalance between the masculine and feminine. And one of the things she did say, because, you know, there's all this banning of herbs going on, she said that the nature kingdom was feminine, and that, you know, when we start banning herbs and make things that are natural to the earth inaccessible to people, that we're really suppressing the feminine principle all over again.
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite a wake-up call, hearing that.
It is indeed, and so in tune with what we hear from the Native American communities so strongly here in Canada, and also in the Aboriginal peoples of Australia and everywhere else. They're crying out for the feminine divine principle to be once again respected by respect for the land and the elements.
Yeah, and you put your finger on something very important there when you said for the feminine principle to be respected. Because one of the things we got from the Akashic Records, and especially that night that Mother Mary came in, was the fact that a lot of people are talking about bringing back the divine feminine. And she said very clearly, it's not about bringing back anything. It's just about recognizing it, respecting it, and bringing it into balance.
Yes. Yes.
She talked a lot about how men's hearts were traumatized. And, you know, so it was the reason why she was speaking of both principles. And, you know, she said that even if we brought back the divine feminine as a dominant energy, it would still, we'd still be doing the pendulum thing, you know? We
yes.
would have swung to the divine feminine, and then the masculine would have been on the other side. So actually she's saying that within each of us, we have so much unhealed stuff about our masculine and feminine selves. But that's
yeah.
really where we needed to look first.
Indeed, that is absolutely true. I couldn't agree with that more. Now, when you do your Akashic Record workshops, how many people generally attend? And is someone are you Angale? Are you Ahonu? Are you channeling material? How does this exactly work? Perhaps you could tell our listeners a bit about that.
Yes, thank you for asking. We have groups anywhere from a few up to 20. I don't think I've ever had more than 20 at one sitting. And really, people come and they're encouraged to bring their questions with them that they would have of source. So the group Akashic sessions are not for personal questions. Those happen in a private reading.
Right.
But what happens is I go into the records and I get myself into the records, and I'm not in a trance. There isn't any other voice that comes through me. It's just myself. But there is a special old Mayan prayer that when you say it, just immediately you're just in the field of, of the Akashic Records. So when people bring questions, we didn't expect this, but it turns out that it's source that answers us. And how I know that is because I just know it. There's no other middle person. There's no guides or angels. It's just this pure truth that comes through. And you get the feeling that it's, on the one hand, it's all that is, and on the other hand, it's a being. So,
yes.
Kind of a strange feeling, really.
And do you verbalizing this information that you are really receiving as your higher self, you know, goes through the records, or are you writing it down, or how does it actually come in?
Well, it comes in. The best way I can explain it is when I say the prayer, I'm in this field of information, and that's the best way I can explain the records. It's a field of information. So when someone asks a question, the information comes through me in all kinds of ways. Sometimes it begins with color beams that have information. The next thing, I'm seeing pictures, and the next thing, I'm having an emotional experience of it as well. And so I deliver the information as I am receiving it. In fact, I get it in pieces where they won't tell me the next piece until I tell the first piece.
Yeah.
But I oftentimes, we record the sessions, and they get transcribed later, and that's how they're being turned into the books. The books are basically, you know, the transcripts of the sessions as people ask about particular topics. But what I have had to edit out of the transcripts is when I am reporting, I say I feel, quite often I'll say I feel this, I feel that. But it's really not that I'm receiving it that way. It's more that the experience of the information is being impressed upon me in multi-dimensional types of ways. It's, it's seeing it, it's hearing it, it's, you know, it's experiencing it. So I feel that the information that comes through me becomes knowledge that gets integrated inside me as I'm receiving it.
Yes, and that's I have to just congratulate you on synthesizing what must, you know, just seem like a very natural experience, and yet it is interdimensional. It's existing in all levels of time and space, as is the Akasha. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe is Akasha not a Sanskrit word that means something like vapor or all that is? Or?
Well, it means ether, and some people say it means sky, but it's really implying to a plane in spirit where all information is recorded. However, my experience is that all that is everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's to me, you got it in the cells of your body.
Yeah.
You know, you could pick up some river rocks and see the information of the cosmos in those river rocks.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, anything that's ever been created holds the information of all of creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are all part of all that is. So, therefore, it's in ourselves and it's in our memory fields and it's accessible.
Yes. And you and Ahonu as twin flames, does that imply that you were, in fact, created at the same time, or is it more like a quantum entanglement type of thing where you move apart and come together because you are joined in some, for lack of a better term, subatomic way?
Well, that's a loaded question. Well, actually, a twin flame does imply that you really are the same flame. So, you know, when flames come off of source or when they first emerge into creation, you know, you could say that your spirit appears as a flame or a star or, you know, something similar in your consciousness. And that original flame will split and divide into two, much like cell division. But you still have the same divine blueprint. You're still the same being. Both flames just kind of go off and start having their own sojourns through the cosmos and through eventually through time and space, and you start individuating, but you really are literally each other. So you do come back around. Ahanu and I are aware of past lives where we've been together.
Yes.
And we've, again, cycled back around this time, but we're both really aware that it's an opportunity to go back into union together. And the relationship is very, very different than any other I've ever had in terms of, you know, like we'll both experience a lot of grief if we're separated for too long.
Yeah.
And that is very different. You know, before, you know, you'd welcome opportunities to go off with your friends or go away for a day. And,
yeah.
You know, this is different where it doesn't feel so great if we're gone too long. There's almost like a strange panic that happens where are you? You know, can't find you. You know, like you're aware of a type of loss.
Yeah.
I'll let Hano comment on his experience of it.
Yes, tell me, Ahanu, what do you sort of have those same types of feelings as well?
Yes, it's a very, very different relationship, different than anything I've ever experienced before. But at the same time, I know that I have experienced it before because it's very, very familiar. You know, I immediately was aware of having past lives with Angel Rose. And I mentioned some of them to her, and she was able to independently verify that indeed she had exactly the same memories. So it's a beautiful kind of a reunion, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
A reunion. And we do workshops on twin flames and soulmates. We've actually written a little ebook about it, and if anybody wants to get hold of it, they can find it on Angel Rose's website, which is angelrose.com. And if I could spell it out, I'd appreciate it because
please do.
It's a difficult name to spell simply because it's, her name is the Irish word for angel, and it's spelled AINGEALROSE.com. And they could also actually find it if people were into Kindles and so on. There's a Kindle version on Amazon. If they searched for Angel Rose on Amazon, or indeed my own name, A-H-O-N-U, that's Ahanu, they'll actually find the Kindle version of it. And that's a fascinating read because it does explain, you know, the answer to that question you asked about what is the origin of twin flames and what's the difference between twin flames and soulmates. And it answers questions too, like, am I in a twin flame relationship at the moment, or am I in a soulmate relationship, or what happens if I'm married to a soulmate but I've met my twin, what do I do? You know? And does it always follow that your twin flame is going to be of the opposite gender? You know, what happens if it's two males, two females, whatever? And also questions like, is it possible that your mother, your father, your children could be your twin flame? And indeed, all of that is possible. So that's a fascinating read. And if anybody was interested, as I say, just search for Angel Rose, R-A-H-O-N-U, on Amazon.
Yes, indeed. And also, we did want to mention that Angel has just released her latest book, A Time for Change, which, as we said, is an exploration, a compilation of much of the material that you have been receiving through the Akashic Records research that you've been doing, which is fascinating. And I really would highly recommend this book to anyone. It's very deep, and yet at the same time, it's extremely personal and extremely communicative. I find that, you know, after reading a bit, I just had to sort of stop and maybe meditate for a bit and just sort of let it resonate, because it's a bit like a great piece of cheesecake or something, you know.
Oh my God!
You need to digest it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's funny with that book, and if I could just correct you, Leslie, it's called A Time of Change.
Oh, I'm so
okay.
Sorry. That's right. I do. That's what I get. I'm having cataract surgery in a couple of weeks, and I can barely see anything. I actually have it written here correctly. I do apologize.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay. But, you know, it's kind of amusing because I've read that book over so many times with the publisher. You know, she was reading it, of course, if she was editing it, and then she would have more questions about certain answers, and then she'd be reading out sections of it to other people, and, you know, and I've had to go back and reread it or add more.
Yeah.
And I said to Kevin, I said, I am just so bored with this book.
Yeah, that's because she's read it 1,000 times.
Right. That is so funny. Now, Honu, I did want to talk a bit about your visionary art. And this is, of course, something that can be seen on your website. I've looked at quite a bit of it. It's so fantastic and thought-provoking, spirit-provoking. Tell me a little bit about how you got started in this particular type of artistry and how this comes to you and what your process is.
Certainly. Well, that answers two questions. It answers the other one about the twin flame experience, too, because that's how it started. When Angel Rose and I first met, I had been painting the traditional form of painting, in the way of painting bridges and trees and landscapes and seascapes and so on. And I've had my own exhibitions and, you know, I've sold almost every painting that I ever painted. So I would regard myself as being, you know, somewhat of a watercolor artist. Well, was I in for a shock, because Angel Rose asked me to paint a past life of hers, and I said, hold on here for a moment. I can paint what I see, and you're asking me to paint something that I can't see. And I really had a difficulty with that. So she encouraged me to tune in. And I did. I tuned in. I didn't know where or what I was tuning into. But what I was seeing very, very clearly was angles. I was just seeing these angles. Now, I'll remind you of her name is Angel.
Yes.
It didn't click with me at the time. But I was seeing these angles. And I showed them to her, and she said, hey, that's not good enough. Go back. I need more information. So I tuned in again deeper, and I realized that I wasn't just looking at angles. I was looking at triangles, and indeed, I was looking at the corners of pyramids. And the next thing, I was actually in a past life of Egypt, where she was the keeper of the records, and here she is today, a reader of the records. So I knew there was something. Yeah, I was onto something, and you know, I didn't understand the full extent of it at that time. So what happened was, I continued to paint and tune into people's energy fields, and at that stage, I didn't quite trust myself, you know, whether the information I was getting was accurate or real or not. Nonetheless, she encouraged me to stay with it. And then a woman came to me at one point, and the moment I tuned into her, I could see her spinal cord, and I could see down at the base of her spine that there was two black daggers that seemed to be penetrating the lower lumbar region.
Oh.
And I painted it. I showed it to her, and she said, oh, my God, she said, this was in Ireland. She said, I've been to every doctor in Ireland, she said, and nobody is able to resolve my lower back pain. And to me, the resolution of that was simple. I said, okay, look, let me just repaint your spine in its divine perfection, and I'll remove these black daggers. Now, I didn't know what I was doing, and I'll say clearly here that, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to heal people at all, because all I was doing was just removing these black daggers from a picture, from an image.
Yeah.
The moment I did it, Leslie, it was a stunning change in that woman. She got up, she twisted and turned and bent over, and she walked around several times and came back, and she said, I don't believe this. She said, I am free of back pain for the first time in my life. Now, here's the thing. I mean, that to me was just a word of encouragement, you know? I didn't think too much more of it than that. And then we were in the United States, actually in New York State, and I could see in this other woman money falling out of her hands. And I painted it. And it's a really simple image. You can actually see it on my website, ahonu.com, ahonu.com. And if you just go /gallery, you'll actually see all those pictures. But it's just an image of a woman's hands facing downwards so that coins are falling out of it. And I said, well, you're losing money. She said, oh, dear. She said, I've just lost $3 million.
Oh my Lord.
No wonder. Yeah, no wonder. You know, this is what's in your, this is because we are the sum total of our energy fields. You know, I began to realize this. So to me, though, the solution to that was quite simple. I said, okay, take that picture, turn it up the other way so that the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these pictures. And then there was a very interesting development. I'm sorry about going on.
Please carry on.
We were back in Ireland, and we were walking in the Wicklow Mountains, beautiful, beautiful part of Ireland. They call it the Garden of Ireland. And I got this very, very clear download from Spirit that said that I was to no longer focus on what was wrong with people. Because that's what I'd been doing, basically, was fixing stuff for people, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that instead, I was to focus on the spark of love that was inside everybody. I was to focus on that spark of divinity. And that was what was to become my work. And I called it the Spirit of Love Project, because that's effectively what it is. And since then, I've painted hundreds and hundreds of these pictures, which really is a huge, what is it? It's encouragement. It's people see that aspect of divinity within themselves in the picture. And one of the things we discovered from it is that those Spirit of Love pictures actually reveal a person's soul conflict. And
yes.
If you think about it, of course it would. We didn't know about it at the time. Now, if people wanted to see those pictures, they can actually go to a particular section of my website called ahanu.com/spirit of love. Spirit of love is all one word. ahanu.com/spirit of love. And there, what they're going to see is all the pictures that I've done, the Spirit of Love pictures, rotating around the earth, because one of the further instructions that I got was that this Spirit of Love inside each individuated spirit has to come together to form a shield of love surrounding the planet. And
yeah.
You can actually see that in action on that particular website I gave you, Spirit of Love. You'll actually see those pictures rotating around the earth, forming a shield of love. And it's the most joyful and most beautiful, most wonderful experience to actually Spirit of Love inside. So here you are. I hope that's
that is so incredible where people are being helped to see the divine inside of them, because once they come in touch with that, there go issues of insecurity, there go issues of worthlessness, issues of even, you know, substance abuse. Once people are in touch with that, however they get that message, you know, visually as in your modality, or however they get that message, I really think that is the essential thing that we're supposed to be doing on this planet, is getting people, waking them up, getting them back in touch with their own spark of divinity. And seeing us as all one being, and I really believe we can heal the earth with that shield of love, because energy follows intent. That's just the way it works. Energy follows intent.
It does. And there's a further development to that too, Leslie, if I could just spend another minute.
Oh yes, please.
Describing what happened as a result. Angel Rose was in the Akashic Records one day, and I asked her specifically, you know, where is this going? Where is this Spirit of Love project going? What is it that I need to be doing now? Because I'd been working on individual people. This is what I was doing. And she said, you have to paint the Spirit of Love of the United States of America. And to me, that seemed like a formidable task, really.
Oh, no kidding.
I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. But, you know, I studied the feelings that it gave me. And I went back in history, in my own mind, to that place in time where the United States of America was pure and perfect in its divine perfection. And I painted what I saw. And the image that I saw is now being downloaded by people all over the country, all over the world. It's available on baseball caps and T-shirts and fridge magnets and car magnets and mugs and aprons and all kinds of ways. Really, as a gesture of a new paradigm that we're moving into. And it's like as if this one image in some way shifts the entire country. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a huge shift when you simply
spend time just gazing at this image, because it incorporates all the indigenous peoples, all the countries that came here to make up the United States of America. It incorporates all the colors of the chakras. It incorporates all the wealth that this country has that is encircling the country by way of gemstones and crystals and providing the energy for this paradigm shift that we're in right now.
And indeed we are in the midst of a paradigm shift. And Anne-Gail, would you care to just mention, I know it's very hard to distill it down to a few of these bits of information, but some of the more fascinating things that have come through recently in your Akashic Records readings. And I'm also kind of interested in any if there has ever been any mention in these materials of extraterrestrial beings, you know, beings that are part of our soul group that may be assisting us in their light bodies or anything of that nature.
Yeah, well, I'll address that first because, yes, there's been many mentions of ETs in our ancient history and even, you know, the reality that many of us are them.
Yeah.
You know, many of us are not from this planet. Certainly there's so many people who don't feel that this is their home and feel that they have come from other places. But I find... maybe I could go back a little bit to talking about how the fall that Source talked to us about. I'll kind of give a brief little summary.
Yes,
because
please.
It relates to your question. But Source, it came under the question that somebody asked about who are we and why are we here. And it was actually the biggest group I had. I don't know how many people showed up that night, and I know they were all looking for a personal answer. But it really showed us the degree of how lost people are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the, what am I doing here? I don't have direction in my life. But Source answered it from a much bigger perspective, as Source usually does, and brought us back to a time when this planet was really a swirling mass of light. And showed us that there were light beings who came to the Earth at that time and basically looked into the possibility of what kind of life could be seeded here. And many of us were those original spirit beings. It went down further to show really that certain events happened in the cosmos that caused a dimensional split with the Earth. And some of those original spirit beings fell to a denser vibration, and actually a good portion of the Earth fell to a denser vibration at the time. And ever since then, we've actually been on this, you know, kind of a resurrection mission where we've been continually reincarnating at different cycles to bring the fallen piece of Earth back up to its original divine frequency, which you would consider a paradise.
Yes.
And so various ET races, not just the original spirit beings, but other ET races have been coming in and trying to help us with this over various cycles. And there are some really benevolent spirits who actually had to wait for a divine decree to be given permission to come close again and help us. And that has been given just in this past year. So we've many, many more divine beings being able to aid us, actually coming close to the Earth in overtones, you know, beaming frequencies. Some of them are actually reincarnating on the planet now. Certainly the advanced children are part of that whole mission.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so that is, a lot of that is in the book. You know, the fall is explained in greater detail in the book. But, I just think that this interdimensional relationship that we have with beings from all sorts of places, positive and not so positive, has been always been a fact, actually.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. And,
And we're seeing more and more evidence of same, and I have no doubt that we're going to see some actual scientific genetic information eventually that some beings on this planet are carrying, you know, extraterrestrial DNA. We just simply can't identify it yet.
Absolutely.
I really think
I mentioned the children, but, you know, there is a section in the book on the indigo crystal and rainbow children, and even though it's a topic that's not necessarily new to people, when Source goes in and explains who these children are, you really do get a whole feeling of a divine purpose and a divine mission, and you get a lot of encouragement because, you know, Source is basically saying, you know, I have not left anybody unaided, you know, the help that's coming. And the fact that this planet can now sustain children who have more activated DNA, who have exceptional gifts, they're switched on in greater ways than we all have been in the past.
Indeed.
The fact that their biologies can sustain that shows us that this planet is shifting into a higher frequency.
Absolutely, the signs are all around. The signs are all around us.
Yes, if I could just mention that there are many books on Amazon called A Time of Change. So, if any of your listeners want particularly to get
Ahonu, hello. Oh, I think we lost our. I think we lost our connection there with our friends. Oh, that's too bad. Well, I'm sure they will be calling back in momentarily. And while we wait for Angale and Ahonu to call back in from Rochester, New York, let me just go ahead and play another word here from Asheville Magazine. And we hope they will have a chance to call back in and finish up their chat with us. And now another word from Asheville Magazine. Okay, I'm not having any luck here, folks, with running our commercials. I'm wondering if there may be a little something wrong with my virtual switchboard here. And so I'm just going to keep chatting while I reboot the virtual switchboard, and we'll see if we can get our friends back on the air here. And I hope I'm still on the air. I don't know if I am. I hope I am. Okay, let's see if we can just get back on and continue our fascinating chat with Angale, Rose, and Ahonu. Okay. Trying to get back up. And, folks, I'm sorry. Having some difficulty with the internet here. I'm not sure whether I'm broadcasting. Not sure at all. And let me go ahead and try to reboot here while I chat with everyone and while we're waiting for Ahonu and Angale to hopefully call back in. And I suspect this is some type of internet problem. I do apologize. But hasn't it been fascinating speaking with Angale, Rose, and Ahonu thus far? And once again, I would mention that if you do want to investigate some of the books that they have available as ebooks or Kindle books, if you want more information about ordering A Time of Change by Angale, Rose, you can very easily log on to www.angale.com. and the information will be there. And likewise, to reach Ahonu, you can simply log on to www.ahonu.com, and you can see some marvelous examples of his visionary art and some of the other activities that he is into as well. And once again, before we do say goodbye for the evening, I would very much like to thank Enchanted Reveries once again. Enchanted Reveries, metaphysical jewelry with a touch of magic to inspire the spirit. Earrings, bracelets, and necklaces handcrafted from semi-precious gemstones, sterling silver, silver-plated pewter, charms, and other symbolic and colorful ingredients. And once again, to look at the beautiful, beautiful objects, the beautiful jewelry from the Enchanted Reveries creative team, just log on to www.enchantedreveries.etsy.com. That's www.enchantedreveries.etsy.com. And I do apologize for this technical snafu, folks. I'm not sure what has occurred with our switchboard here, but we were not able to access some of our advertising files and some other things. So hopefully Ann Gail and Ahonu will be calling in shortly to just finish up their chat with us this evening. And folks, I would recommend, if you would like to know any more about myself, Leslie Mitchell Clark, I am a licensed hypnotherapist, and I work in all kinds of areas with folks, helping them with a myriad of situations. And I also have an active practice working with individuals who are abductees, or experiencers, if you wish to call them that, or interfacers. And if you feel that you have had some type of experience, missing time, disturbing dreams, anything of that nature, we would really love to hear from you. And you can get in touch with me at any time, either through Leslie at lightworkhypnosis.com. That's Leslie at lightworkhypnosis.com. Or you can reach me also through contactradio.host@gmail.com. That's contactradio.host@gmail.com. And I would love to chat with you. Certainly, everything we would say is confidential. We are here to understand and listen, and if you do feel that you have had some experience which perhaps might involve some sort of contact with an extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial being, I do encourage you to get in touch. And also, producer Wes Roberts and I have founded Contact Group International, and Contact Group International is an organization that is designed to unite like-minded individuals who have had experiences, and experiences that are perhaps extraterrestrial in nature, or they may be individuals who are simply interested or informed about this topic. At any rate, we are the founders of Contact Group International, and information about that organization and a preliminary questionnaire is available on lightworkhypnosis.com. So you can go ahead and check that out, and we would love to hear from you. All right, folks, I'm terribly sorry for this technical problem. I know we do send out our thanks to Ahonu and to Ann Gail Rose, and once again, you can reach them at www.ahonu.com or at www.angailrose.com. And this is your host, Leslie Mitchell Clark, and also your producer, Wes Roberts, in absentia. And we are saying thank you for tuning in to another episode of Contact. And remember, you are not alone. Thank you, folks. Have a wonderful week. And we will be back next week with another fascinating guest. And we look forward to seeing you soon. And do get in touch. Thank you and good night.